This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Philip and Xiao Ning. In about half an hour, we're going to check the pulse of the Malaysian semiconductor industry. But in the meantime, Tasik Chini. According to UNESCO's first periodical review of Tasik Chini, the lake no longer meets the criteria to be part of their world network of biosphere reserves and is at risk of losing the title.
The lake is the first of only three Malaysian biosphere sites recognized by UNESCO as part of the Man and Biosphere Program, which studies and improves the relationship between people and the environment. Now, the review was released last week, and some of the reasons for a possible loss of status that it noted includes newly cleared forest areas with intensive land conversion and the reopening of old mines in the surrounding locations.
However, the status is not revoked at this juncture, as UNESCO has requested Malaysian authorities to submit a detailed plan for the rehabilitating of Tasik Chini by the end of this September. So how did the lake and its surrounding environment deteriorate to such appalling conditions? And are we able to preserve the status of Tasik Chini as a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve?
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Dato' Sri Dr. Mushrifah Idris, former Research Centre Director at the University Kebangsaan Malaysia Tasik Chini Research Centre. Dr. Mushrifah, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. Can we get a better understanding of the significance of Tasik Chini having a biosphere reserve status by UNESCO and the consequences of losing it?
Yes, hello. Good morning to you and good morning to all the listeners. Tasik Chini is not many lakes that we have around in Malaysia. We only have two main lakes, Tasik Chini and the other one is Tasik Berah. And if you do know that, Tasik Chini has a lot of books written on it, especially legends. And films have been made about it. And there's also a culture surrounding the lake. And if you look into some of the researches that has been carried out, it has a very high biodiversity flora and fauna. It houses many of the small mammal population, and of course the famous lowland dendrocarp forest. So these are the features that actually make it unique in the world, and it's also a freshwater area that has a lot of implications. Has a sensitive area. Therefore, it is good that this area has to be put into one of the sites in the UNESCO. And one of these appropriate sites is the Biosphere Reserve because it stands as a model towards conservation, towards sustainability and international cooperation. Of course, losing the title would mean a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean,
as
you say, right, huge consequences. I wanted to get your perspective because the Pahang region, Tengku Hassanal Shah, already did issue a decree, right, to stop mining activities at all around the lake. In addition, our Pahang Menteri Besar as well also has said that they have put aside 1 million ringgit for a Pahang Mine Rehabilitation Fund. So all this is a little too late, isn't it?
No, it's not too late. Rehabilitation, restoration, conservation is never too late. If you see the model that has been gone around the world, the Amazon forest, which they have rehabilitated for quite a while, but it takes a while. You see, it takes a while. So, but it needs a lot of efforts. It needs a lot of cost because you know this destruction has been done. And the most important thing is a political will to ensure that it can be restored. Even though that there are mining going on, I'm sure the state will be doing its best and with the help of the federal government to ensure that it can be restored back to its former glory. But of course, once a contract is done to some of this area has a mining, it has been done. But the new mining area are no longer accepted. So those miners that are on contract, they have to go on. But it has to be intervened. It has to be mined differently. It has to be mined In my experience of 10 years of rehabilitation, it has to go towards what we call as a green mining, and a proper EIA has to be done, or else it will take a longer process for recovery.
Which then begs the question, how much of this green mining has been implemented, if at all? I mean, has the state and federal government taken cognizance of the necessity to go down this path?
Yeah, I suppose before it wasn't aware that we are going towards what we call as sustainable development. So when the country has agreed on doing sustainability, so all of those areas associated to UNESCO, not just Bass Reserve, we have the other heritage site, we are going towards sustainability. So it is not easy, as I said, it's not easy to rehab an area and to look into ways of how a green restoration, a green mining is done, because if we do have to follow, it will be from overseas. It's like in South African countries, they have done green mining. So these are the things that probably those implementers, they have to go out there and look into what is green. Because I'm sure we have one in Raub, which was carried out by an Australian mining area. But, you know, when they green up the place, we've actually seen that once they have mined, they replant the area with trees that are endemic to the area. So that's what they should do right now.
All right, Dr. Mushisha. Mm. Musharifa, a lot of rehabilitation efforts that need to be taken. But I think alongside the steps that need to be taken moving forward, I am wondering, how did we get to this stage? I mean, what are the gaps in oversight or monitoring that occurred over the past years that led us to come to this particular point?
Well, the area was not a UNESCO site before. You do understand that. And it was left abandoned. It was not, research has not been done. We don't know what's the biodiversity there. So, you know, before it is being forwarded as a bus reserve, a lot of things have to be done. A lot of things have to be looked into, researched into. And I think the Tazachi University Center on the University of Bangsa Malaysia, under the Faculty of Science and Technology, we have gathered researchers, look into all the survey areas that have not been done on biodiversity, on community, on monitoring of the rivers, to ensure that the catchment area is at its best as a biodiversity. So, you know, once, because we have all this biodiversity intact and the research has been carried out. So that was the reason why we had this status. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to ensure that, you know, that the biodiversity is there. So now we have to look into how do we manage? This is the most important thing. How do the state manage the biodiversity, the sustainability, and how it plays together with the federal government and the involvement of the community? That's most important. Because some of our projects does not involve the community. But I'm sure, I know that the state has done a lot to help the community to ensure that they are involved with this kind of work.
And when I hear you, it really does involve the community, the state and federal government to move this forward. But the reality is that this is going to be a hard slog and take a longer term work and effort required. So is it inevitable that the status will be revoked then?
There are a lot of efforts. In fact, I think the state are working very hard with the experts in the various fields to ensure that other than research that comes in to help them decide on the type of management, they also are forming, I was told, a state park where the state government will play a very important role in restoration and rehabilitation. Has for now, it has not been implemented as yet. So that was the reason why the UNESCO wants to see how this is done. So I hope that the state, the federal government come together and then form a committee, which is like all other 400 sites in the world, that they have a national committee followed by a state committee and all the people who are involved. We people involved with the development, the research, the community development, and also how the policy have been implemented. But it's good that now that the government has, state government has come up with the RKK, the Rancangan Khas Tempatan, which has never been done before, specifically for the Tasik Chini, and to see how it could be part of this whole organization of management. But it's a good thing moving forward.
Thank you very much for your time. That was Datuk Sri Dr. Mushrifah Idris, former Research Centre Director at University Kebangsaan Malaysia Tasik Chini Research Centre, helping us to understand what's happening with this biodiverse biosphere reserve avenue, biosphere reserve place.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much.
But my point is that it's been around since 2009, right? So we're in our 13th year of it. Let's hope it the status can be maintained. But didn't we learn any lessons over the last 13 years?
7:29 in the morning. We are heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. We'll come back shortly after that with a look at the semiconductor industry. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.